1, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 1 through 9. The Bible reads, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes our brother unto the church of God which is at Corinth. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that is in every place upon the call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. That in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, or God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning, as you read the opening words of the book of 1 Corinthians, you find that Paul tells us that he is a minister or an apostle that has been called of God through the will of God. And the message that he preaches and the words that he is writing to the church of Corinth are the words directed from the Lord to them. He says he writes to the church of God, which is at Corinth. There's a local congregation, a local group of people meeting in that particular place, and they are considered as the church of God. They're considered as the place where God's people meet together. And he gives them his normal greeting here. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. We mentioned this morning in our Sunday school time that the Apostle John, in that second epistle, only 13 verses, he uses the words grace and peace and mercy as his opening statements and his greeting. Well, here the Apostle Paul uses grace and peace. And then verse number 4 is the verse I want us to really think about this morning, or as a sort of a launching verse. It says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. I guess of all the passages and all the subjects of the Word of God, I love to preach on the grace of God as much as any other that there is. Now, I love to preach on Second Coming. I love to preach on other subjects. But when you come to the grace of God, you are coming to a subject that means everything to the believer. It is that which God has given to us as the way that we can go from this place called earth and can go to glory. For by grace are ye saved. And so Paul, when he writes to the church of Corinth, this group of people that met together, and I'm sure they had a different style of meeting than we have. I'm sure they didn't have a building like we have, but they were a group of people that had joined themselves together with each other, and they met on the Lord's Day, and they met to worship the Lord. If you know anything about the Church of Corinth, it is like many churches today. It had a lot of problems. It had a lot of difficulties. It had a lot of sin within even the bounds of the church. But when Paul opens his letter to them, he says in verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf. He said, I'm thankful to the Lord because of what has happened in your life. On your behalf, and here's what he is thankful for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. I want us to think this morning just simply upon the subject, thank God for grace. Thank God for His mercy, His peace, but thank God for His grace that is set before us. The grace of God means everything to the child of God. If you're here today and you are a believer, it is because God, in His grace, came and gave to you an opportunity to hear the gospel, convicted your heart of sin, and convicted your life of wrongdoing, and you had an encounter, you had a meeting with the one that is perfect before all, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and for His grace came and saved you and gave you life. For it is grace that takes us from this place and takes us to heaven. That place that Jesus said He has gone prepare for us, that where He is there we may be also. Without grace we are nothing, and without grace we have nothing. Without the grace of God we are lost in our sins and undone without God and with the help, and we'll die without the Lord and go to a place that the Bible describes as hell. But with grace, thank God, we can go to heaven. Because of grace, we can have the joy and the knowledge and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have joy in our soul knowing that we are headed toward the land of glory. Someone has made an acrostic of the word grace, and I've used it many times, and others have also. But grace just simply means God's riches at Christ's expense. You and I this morning as believers, we have all the riches of heaven. We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We are children of God. We belong to the heavenly city. And one day we'll take up our abode there because of His grace. It's His grace at the expense of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us. The grace of God has been described in many different ways and been given many different definitions. But I believe yet the best definition is that which is probably first and foremost, that it is the unmerited favor of God. It is that which we cannot work for. It is that which we cannot strive to get. Grace is unmerited, and grace is freely given to all that will believe upon Him. And so it is the unmerited favor of God, that God would smile upon us. What a wonderful thought that is, that the God of heaven that spoke the worlds to existence, that He would smile upon us and offer us this thing of grace. That He would give us an opportunity that we would hear the gospel and hear the message of salvation. And He would give to us everything that would make it possible for us to believe. And certainly that is His grace. It is God being better to you than you deserve. It is God doing more for you than you deserve. It is God doing everything that we might have life. This book that is before us that we call the Bible, it has a lot to say about grace. It's one of the founding principles and foundational subjects of His Word. The Word itself is found almost 160 times within the covers of this book we call the Bible. And I want us to just look at some things about grace this morning. Again, it's nothing new, but it's something I hope that can refresh us and what we have in the Lord. Remember, Paul said, I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Grace was the mission of our Savior. When Jesus came to this world, that was His mission, that He was to present Himself in a light whereby people could come and could know that they needed life, that they needed God, and that He was the summation or the culmination of the law that is given to us through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law gave us thou shalt and thou shalt not, but God gave us His Son, and Jesus Christ gave us the grace of God that even those things it says thou shalt not do, He forgives us of our sin, and He took our place upon Calvary. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, says, though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And so He that owned everything came to this world that had nothing, that you and I might obtain His world and have everything. What a wonderful word this word grace is. And that certainly was the mission of our Savior, to turn bondage into freedom. When Jesus came, the world was in bondage, and the message of freedom came and was given forth by John the Baptist as he proclaimed, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That message of freedom was given to the world through Jesus Christ as He hung there upon the cross of Calvary. That grace and that message turned beggars into people of livelihood, and turned the dead to give life, and the blind could see and the ears once again could hear, all because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the mission of our Savior, to give grace to the hearer. I can go back in my own personal life and to know that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. The mercy of God and the grace of God and the truth of God, as we dealt with even this morning in Sunday school, that truth is so very important. It took you and I as sinners and made us saints of God. I didn't say it made us perfect, but it made us saints. You see, there are some folks that try to put sainthood upon folks after they die. I'm glad, thank God, we're saints while we're living. We are the children of God. We are saints of God. We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, upon that thought, we realize that the mission of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, was to come, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That was why He came, to present Himself as a Savior to this world. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, I'm not talking about name on a church roll, I'm not talking about being baptized, I'm talking about being a Christian. If you're here as a Christian, you have received and you have accepted the mission that Jesus came to present Himself as the Savior of those who would believe upon Him. If we are saved this morning, we are recipients of the grace of God. We are believers and we trust what He has given to us in the Scripture. Next Sunday is a special time, me personally, in my life. I'm not sure if I'll be preaching next Sunday or Brother Timothy or how it's going to work. We haven't got that worked out yet. But next Sunday is a personal time for me, a very important time in my life. Because on November the 15th, 1959, I found the grace of God. That's been 50 years ago. That's been a long time. And I found that written down a few years ago in my grandmother's Bible. I didn't know the date of the month. I was 8 years old. I didn't know I just knew I met the Lord. By the way, that's the most important thing anyway. You need to know you had an encounter. You need to know you've met the Lord, but the day and the time is not really that important. Just know that you've met Him. And so I read that one day, and I thought, I'm glad she wrote that down, because now I have a personal knowledge that what happened to me in that time, that where I was, and in my young age, I didn't care what day of the month it was. I didn't care what month it was. I didn't care about anything. I just 8-year-old kid. But I do know one thing. That night I met the Lord Jesus Christ. I may not know a lot of things, but I do know I met Him that night. And so the mission of our Savior was to have boys and girls, teenagers, young adults, middle-aged adults, older adults. His mission was that we would learn of His grace. That He would present Himself and we would see Him as the Savior high and lifted up, and that we would see Him as that perfect substitute and sacrifice, and that we would see ourselves as lost and undone without God and without hope, and that we would realize that the only way that we can ever get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And thank God He came that day to offer grace to the world that would believe upon Him. So it was the mission of the Savior. Very closely related to that, grace is the method of salvation. You're not saved by works. The Bible very clearly tells us that, but we're saved by grace. That's the method God has chosen. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could have anything to do with our salvation, we'd say, look what I have done. But God left us undone. God left us hopeless. God left us helpless. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us God left us And God put us in a state that we were dead in sins and trespasses without ability to do anything until He came to us. Thank God the method of my salvation is grace through faith. And that is the gift of God. Romans chapter 3, verse number 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have redemption this morning. We have salvation this morning because of grace. That is the method that God chose whereby to call us into His family and to put us into salvation. So grace is the mission, grace is the method. Thirdly, grace is the main theme of the Scripture. If you'll read your Bible, you'll find that's the main theme from Genesis to Revelation. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 32 says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Here we see we have been commended to God and to the word of His grace. The word of His grace, I believe, is this book that we hold this morning. Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace is not just a New Testament teaching. Grace is a biblical teaching. I understand that there are different times that God dealt with people in a different way and maybe emphasized some things differently, but grace has always been. Some people say we're living in the age of grace right now. I personally think all of them have been ages of grace. You can go too far on these categories or these time frames. Now, I personally believe every age that man has lived in, from the Innocence Age until the Laodicean Age, I believe all of them are ages of grace that God has presented Himself and offered Himself to a lost and dying world. And the only way you can get saved is by grace. That's why Noah found grace. That's why Abraham had grace. That's why all the Old Testament saints were saved, just like we are, by faith and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, their soon coming Messiah. We look back at Him. They look forward to Him. It shows a need that we have. If we could go to heaven any other way, I believe God would have presented that way to get to heaven. I do not believe that God enjoyed sending His Son to die. I do not believe that Jesus Christ enjoyed, even though He says for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He didn't enjoy physically the death that was put upon Him. But because of the work of God and because of the wonderful message of the Lord, we have grace as the main theme through the Scripture, that everybody that's going to be gathered one day in heaven is all going to be there by the same avenue, and that's by grace. Some people teach that you were saved in the Old Testament by keeping the law and doing works, and you're saved at this age by grace, and during the tribulation you'll get to heaven another way, and during the millennium you'll get to heaven another way. No, you get to heaven one way, and that's by the grace of God. Grace is the main theme of the Scripture. It shows the nature of man, shows the nature of God. In the New Testament, by grace man is redeemed. By grace man is reborn. He is released. And by grace he is rejoicing in all the glories that God has for him. And thank God for the Scripture that tells us to rejoice evermore. And again I say rejoice. We do that because we have that which is given to us called grace. Favor that I did not deserve. A smile from God that should have been a frown. A hand of mercy reaching out and reaching down to me when it should have been a hand to push me on further away from Him to hell. That's what it should have been. But because of grace, He reached way down to where I was. And He picked me up. And Psalm says He put my feet upon a solid rock. That's grace. That's love. That's mercy. Grace is the theme of our Scriptures. It's the theme of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and all the way through God's Word. And Paul, when he comes to writing to this
sinful church. I wouldn't want to be a member of a church like Corinth. I've seen some churches in our area and around the country named Corinth Baptist Church. I wouldn't want that name. I know it's a biblical name, but my goodness, look what it is. Corinth was a wicked, ungodly, immoral people that had turned a wrong way. And that's why Paul writes 1 Corinthians. Buddy, he tells them just the way it is. Now, I'm not belittling churches that are named Corinth. I just wouldn't want to name a church that. If I went out and started a church, I would not call it Corinth. I'd rather be called Grace or whatever. But when Paul writes this church of Corinthians, he doesn't immediately start out with their problems, but he does bring them back to what made them a church. He brought them back to the thing that had put them where they were, and he says, on your behalf, I thank my God always. On behalf of you, I thank God for the grace that has brought you unto the Lord. Now, Paul is sort of setting them up here in these first few words, the first few verses, because it is that same grace that he's going to use to cut the props out from under them and to bring them back into a good fellowship with the Lord. It's all by grace. And so it's the theme of the Scriptures. You and I this morning, it's the message, it's the means of our strength. We do what we do by His grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Same book, same church. Paul has already taken care of the problem in that church, and you get to chapter 15. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know what this morning? But by the grace of God, we could be anything that anybody else is. We could be as wicked, and we could be as lost, and we could be as ungodly, and we could be as far away from God as anybody else, but by His grace we are what we are. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. Paul said, the grace of God has made me what I am. He said, I labored. That verse tells us here, he said, I labored abundantly. I labored more maybe than some of my brethren. He said, but that was not what got me where I am. It was the grace of God that had portrayed and pushed Paul to the point of being a great preacher of the gospel and an apostle to the Gentiles. It was that grace that made him what he was. And thank God it saved him and made him different, and it saved me and made me different. It saved you. If you're saved, it's made you different. It's our strength. 2 Timothy 2:1 says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Strength. Here Paul is writing to the young preacher called Timothy, and he says, my son, be strong in the grace. Strengthen our weakness, strengthen our warfare, strengthen our welfare, strength that God would give us abundantly all that we need. Strength to do the daily work. Every one of us this morning, none of us could do anything except by His grace. There's no way that you can do the work of the Lord in your own strength and own power. Now you can do it for a while, but you get weary in well-doing. You can do it for a while, but somewhere down the line you get tired and you quit and you say, I'll do something different or I'll do it later. But the grace of God pushes us on. It is our strength. The reason maybe we're here this morning, I don't know your particulars. Brother Larry, is your back hurting this morning? All right. Brother Ebert, you having problems breathing this morning? Yeah. I don't know the particulars of any of us. We've all have problems that we could give in and say, I believe I'll do something else. I believe I'll stay home. Renee, is your back hurting this morning? Anybody else have any ailments? Any problems? Back problem? I mean, we go around the... Well, I could call name after name after name after name on this section, the middle section, and the left section, and it'd surprise us, if we'd be honest, what's hurting. And this old flesh, if we leave it to itself, we'll say, I believe I'll stay home. I don't feel like going. But by grace, He gives us strength. By His grace, He gives us the desire to have strength in weakness, as He told Timothy. To have strength in warfare. There is a spiritual warfare that goes on, and we have to fight the battle. But I'll tell you what, when you're in a battle, it gets wearisome. I get tired of phone calls. I get tired of problems. I get tired of those things. You go home at night and you're tired and you just want to forget it all. But you get up the next morning and you face the phone calls and you face the different things that are going on by the grace of God. So grace is our strength. It is our means of strength. It is what God gives us to keep on keeping on for Him. Grace also is the measure of our stewardship. Our stewardship. Our giving. We do that by grace. Especially when things are not as well as they have been. Especially when the economy's in the downturn, even though we were told it'd be upturned if we spent $1 trillion or however much that was. Unemployment is 10.2 that they know about, and what's unknown is up to close to 18% unemployment in our country. But it is the grace of God that will measure our stewardship, our willingness to give unto the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8. Now he's writing a second letter to Corinthians. Problems have been settled. Difficulties are over. He writes the second letter to the Corinthian church, and he says, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Willing to give. Great poverty, or deep poverty. They were willing to give. Grace will make us do what we ought to do, just simply because it's right. I know I can count on one hand how many messages I've preached on stewardship or giving since I pastored this church. And so, it takes the grace of God that we give. And I thank the Lord that even though everything's in a downturn and things are turning upside down, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but thank God I know what today holds. We can give in our afflictions, we can give in our abundance, or we can give out of our poverty. These folks gave out of their poverty. I was talking to Brother Ebert the other day about how that the churches in the Philippines, how those folks are giving out of their poverty. Have nothing. Many of them have lost everything they have, and those that still have a few things are willing to give. That takes grace. The students in the college could not give an offering of money, but they gave an offering of clothes. That's out of their poverty. A measure of grace in our stewardship. And thank God, grace is the melody of our song. It is that which makes us have a melody. Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You see, we get it all mixed up. We say people sing to us. We really need to be singing to the Lord. If we sing to us, we want to make sure it's right. We don't want to get up and be on one note and the pianist and organist be on another note. We want it done right because that's just us. That's what's called pride. But the Bible says here that we are to make melody in our hearts with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace to the Lord. To the Lord. It's rooted in our hearts. It reaches out to others, the grace of God. May God help us this morning to have grace as the melody of our song. Not the words. You see, a song has melody, it has words. Grace, not necessarily the words, but the melody. I've heard some people sing, but when you saw their heart, took care of it. Rejoice in the Lord, making melody in our hearts, singing as unto the Lord. The Bible says, and we call David the sweet psalmist of Israel. We have no idea if he could carry a tune or not, but he sure could write some good words and put it to music. You see, it's not the abundance of the sound. It's the abundance of grace in our heart that lets the world know, I love God. So, when Paul said, I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you in Jesus Christ. He wasn't talking about things that sometimes we think about. He was talking about the mission of the Savior, the grace that we have because of that. We have that theme of the Scriptures. We have the strength that comes. We have our stewardship. And oh, thank God, we have our salvation because of that measure of grace that was given to us. And Paul told this troubled church, this sinful church, I thank God on your behalf for the grace of God that has been given to you. You see, for the grace of God can take care of our troubles. It can take care of our sins. It can take care of our lives. That grace that saved us can handle us. So thank God this morning for grace. The abundant mercy of the Lord given to us at the expense of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, when you leave here, I pray you will leave saying, Dear God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for what you have given me. Not because I deserved it, not because you owed it. You gave it because you loved me. Thank God for grace. Every believer in here this morning ought to be able to say, thank God for His grace. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you need to thank God for grace also. For it is that by that grace that He'll call you. It is that by that grace that He'll woo your heart and your spirit. He'll convict your soul. And He'll let you know that He is the Savior. He is holy. He is righteous. And is that by that grace that He will let you know that you're totally undone, that you have nothing good? As long as a person thinks they can do okay without God, they'll do okay without God. But there comes a time when you won't do okay. There comes a time when you'll face God. May God help us today, walking out this building, I pray every individual will say and be able to say, thank God for your saving grace. He's done it for us that we could call upon Him. Let's stand together this morning.